Blog Talk Radio.
You are loved. You are loved. You are whole, wholly loved. You are life itself, love itself. You are the light that lights all. You are loved. You are loved. You are perfection, divine oneness. You are loved. You are miracle. You are love. You are loved. You are music. You are art. You are the perfection of being. All that I am is you. All that you are is me. We are one. We are love. We are one divine perfection. One divine reflection of love. We are love. We are love. I am loved. You are loved. You are loved. You, I am love.
Welcome everybody. This is Satya Ananda. I want to welcome you to the Love Channel. And I want to open up with inviting three of the most perfect reflections in the male bodies that I've come to realize on the internet, and that's Jordi the artist, and that's Sunny, and that's Iggy, who's the host of With Insights Radio, to join me tonight. And they may come on, they may step on the stage for me. Jordi represents the infinite field of creation that just constantly allows his art form to be realized, God's art form to be realized through him on his canvases, people's walls, restaurants, anywhere that he's called. And then there's Iggy, who's the shaman, who is the perfect reflection of the music and the dance and the healer I am. And then there's Sunny, who's just the pure essence of energy and light and love that I've come to realize. And I don't have really a personal relationship with any of these men. I haven't met them in the body other than Iggy. But we do have a kinship that really is beyond what I think most have come to realize in this world of opposites. And tonight I had titled the show, Assuming the Goddess. And really what I meant to say was to assume the God I am, the goddess I am. This past month has been a very interesting month for me because I've come to realize a lot about the old belief systems coming into reality unbeknownst to me. Teaching this and living this all the years that I have. And what I mean by that is that staying focused on God realization. I've really been in a little bit of an ashram mindset, and my life has been pretty much absolutely blissful, you know. And the past month, actually this past 3 years, again, as I always share on the show, living with my dad and healing all my childhood issues, which again, this is all ego stuff. This isn't really the truth of being, but I need to say it because I want to show the contrast, and I want to show the polarity of being in a body. And showing you how it's so easy to get caught in the illusion of separation. And so, anyway, the last month I've come to realize that a lot of the beautiful aspects of myself have been made known. I mean, I really feel loved. I really feel I am is love. And on the other side of it has come the most interesting aspect of the body releasing the patterns of the past. And what I mean by that is that I'm seeing physical manifestation of dis-ease actually rise up through me and have itself made known in me, but I feel such a sense of clearing and celebration in what is occurring, because I know that the physical malady called not being able to digest food, let's say, and now I've had an issue with the swelling in my face, and I realize that all of this is coming to a head because I'm so clearly connected to love. And so that's where the show begins tonight. And I want to start with a section from A Course in Miracles. And this section is called Awakening to God. And that's the show tonight. Tonight, I am going to realize God is I am. And that all those that are present on the phone or on the chat or come back and archive will get a glimpse of who they are in truth. The true essence of their being will be made known tonight. I have no doubt of that. So I'm going to start with awakening to God. The memory of God can dawn only in a mind that chooses to remember and that has relinquished the insane desire to control reality. You who cannot even control yourself should hardly aspire to control the universe. All that is needful is to train our minds to overlook our little senseless aims and to remember that our goal is God. The recognition of God, again, a little bit of an obstacle, I just cleared the way for God to come through. The recognition of God is the recognition of yourself. God dwells within. God wills for you is perfect happiness. His will for you is perfect happiness. The journey to God is merely the reawakening of the knowledge of where you are always and what you are forever. And then the lesson aspect is, we practice, but in ancient truth, we know before illusion seemed to claim the world, and we remind the world that it is free of all illusions every time we say, God is but love, and therefore so am I. And that's the little mantra that I started with tonight. I am is my experience. God is love. I am love. I am loved. Today I had a conversation, actually it was yesterday, I had a conversation with a girl on Facebook who's been contacting me for a couple of weeks now. Beautiful, beautiful energy. And she shared with me that she's seeking and searching for her twin soul. And that's been a big one for me, because I know that, for me anyway, I've come to realize the true essence of my being through a so-called twin soul. And I want to get into the depths of that, because there's so much misunderstanding, I think, and I feel, from what I've experienced on the internet mostly, which is, you know, the database of all being. And anyway, she asked me to talk about, her and another lady, about my awakening. And I wanted to share a little bit about that, because I really think that it's paramount in bringing forth the God I am tonight. Back in 1994, I had a really hard life experience. I had a really prestigious job in my own right, and something happened, and I tried to become more realized for what I was doing with more pay, and I was completely ostracized and demeaned, and it was before my spiritual awakening, so it really hurt. And shortly after, I had a gallbladder operation, and I gave up meat, and I just decided that that would be better for me after this experience, and I started meditating, and I didn't even know why, but I started meditating, started walking the beach, and within about 2 months' time, first time on AOL, and that was when the AOL, You Got Mail started. I met a man on one of the chat rooms the first night that I was on the computer, and we completely connected. And I felt like never before that I knew this man all my life. Within a month's time, we met in the body, and I went to visit him in his part of the country after leaving my relationship. And I was completely overwhelmed with love. Love that I had never experienced before, so much so that I felt like I was reborn. And I felt that the whole concept of the Christ coming, the second coming, had occurred. And I was never the same. I left this man, came back to Florida, and I was bliss personified. I became Ananda. And shortly after, I started teaching A Course in Miracles. Anyway, that lasted for a bunch of years. And then back in 2008, I want to state this because I think I need to state it on the air because I really had enough of it. I met a man in 1999 through my Course in Miracles class that I was teaching. He was doing prose on the internet, and it was really touching my heart. I didn't know if it was a man or a woman. I just knew that he signed a JM, and I felt like I needed to connect to this man because I felt he had some issues, and that's what I was doing. I was working daily, 20, 25 windows on the chat rooms, working with people worldwide, helping clearing blocks to love, and I didn't even know what I was doing, but people were telling me the testimony was that something changed in their lives, their bodies, their circumstances. Anyway, so I started writing this person, and I said, you know, I really feel that there's a connection because I'm using your poetry and your prose in my classes, and I love you. You know, and that was what how I signed everything. Well, within a month, he came to get me. He was a man. And he was a very rich, supposedly, man, and we got together and we started having a spiritual relationship. And he said I was his twin soul, and I denied it because I really didn't know what that was, and I really didn't feel that kind of connection. I just knew that there was some kind of a kinship between us, and that kinship was about us coming together and doing the spiritual work for as long as it was. Anyhow, with that, we stayed together for 9 years. We're nine together, which I feel is about old. I'm getting calls on my phone. So if you're hearing buzzes, I'm really sorry, but my connection is on my phone, and I'm getting loads of calls, and sorry about that. Anyway, so the 9 years was over, and, you know, he claimed I was a twin soul. I never felt it. I felt it was just me and him coming together to clear the air. It's a part of me that was me at the time. And we left each other. And in 2008, shortly after, one of my students and I met again. We re-met and shortly after started seeing that he and I were most connected. And I really felt for the first time the truth about what we have come to know, and many in the spiritual community talk about the twin soul. I met my twin soul. And what I mean by that is that there is a body soul mind connection that's beyond anything that I could ever realize. And with that, it just became completely divinely beautiful. And I mean that in the mind body experience and the physical experience, it is absolutely complete. And so I hear many talking, including the man that was called me his twin soul, saying that the twin soul relationship is not about, you know, really romance, and it's not about really body love. It's about doing soul work together. And I have to claim for me that that's all not true. That the twin soul relationship is about looking in the mirror and being in awe and in ecstasy about seeing yourself in the true state of love. It really is the sacred reunion realized. And it's within. And you become it. You become loved by you. And I always share that the giver of all is what I call the giver of all, God I am, is really the male principle. And he is here. It is here. I would say it because it's so infinite and so beyond words that there's really no way in gender to bring it forth as a realized idea. But this God of all beings, the giver of all, is the lover. And when I accept that, when I assume the state of the female principle or the goddess I am, the God gives me, bestows upon me the crown, and I see it as a crown of roses. And those roses are the true state of the female the divine female realized. So I met a woman as I started this conversation with, and she was talking about being gay. And she was saying that to her, gay is a male body, a female in a male body wanting a female. And it really spoke so loud to me that I began crying as she was writing this, because I really knew that I was being called to her, not for me, though it was of me, through me, of God through me, but that I was to show her that part of me, through me, at me, exactly what I needed to hear. And of course, she was the conduit, and I was the conduit for her, the aspect of her, relatively speaking. But I told her that what we deny, because she said, I can never be with a man. And I said, what you deny is your shadow, and that's your life purpose. That's what you've come to be realized as, accepting the male love. But you can only accept the male if you become the female. And being in a female body means that I need to accept the female I am. And I explained to her that for most of my life I was in a male energy. I was a doer. I was a creative force, and I really thought it was me doing all, but I was allowing God in all the time. But as I started realizing that the more male in attitude, in decision-making, in action, in doing, in giving, was all to block and hide the female, which Jodi and I really kind of talked about last show. And if you want to listen to a really awesome show about the inner child, look in the archives because it's really cool. And he did a magnificent job of being the host for me to be the guest and to really come to realize what I needed to awaken more of the God I am and the love I am in me. Anyway, so I attracted men that were not male. I attracted men that were more female in essence. And the more that I did that, the more male I became, and the more male I became, the more disoriented I was, because I wanted a male. I didn't want a female. But the more male I became, the more I could not receive the female. The female in me could not receive the male because I was taking his place. So I said to her, "You need to be the female. You need to love you. Because if you don't, you will keep bringing just like yourself. You'll be bringing males that are really not males. They're females. So it's not about, I don't want to wear dresses. I don't want to, do pretty things." And I said, it's not about that, too, but I can never have a physical relationship with a man. And I said, it's not about physicality. And that's where we get lost. So many people on the internet and these, chat rooms and these different groups on Twin Souls and Sacred Union and all are talking about a physical relationship that is based on physicality, sexuality, likes, dislikes, wants, not wants. And the reality is I am is my experience. So the more that I assume a state, the more I'll see it. And now I want to go into the concept of dis-ease because it fits in perfectly with what I'm sharing here. When God is I am, there can be no dis-peace in my reality. There can't be disease. And if I don't allow myself to reject it, as I've been doing for the last month personally with my physical vessel and, outer being that I've manifested through ideas and mindsets and beliefs, and if I don't reject and resist what wants to come through, which is just clearing the debris out of the way, that's what dis-ease noticed or is, it will just come to pass. So I got emails today from a lady that I know for years was an aspect of me. I haven't seen her. She used to live here, but now she moved to another state. And she's quoting Joel Goldstein, basically saying that if you need a doctor, go to the doctor. And it's like my path is about God realization. And for me, that means God is I am. It means the more that I attune to the understanding that I am one with God, I am one with love, the more I will be it and see it in my reality. And it's very profoundly beautiful because that is the key to the sacred union. That is the key to the manifestation of the perfect reflection of God realized in my reality. I need to become that which I desire to see. And because I'm a child and because I'm innocent, because I do not really know at this stage of being what that looks like, I basically get out of the way. For so many years in time, I allowed myself to interfere with what wanted to happen. So I reach and I take the pill, or I reach and I go to the doctor, or I reach and I get the mail, or I reach and get a job and go get the money, when in fact all I ever need do is remember that God is. I am. And for the female body, it's imperative that you adore that female, that you fully actualize the female principles. And that means you receive love. You receive the gift of the kingdom. And that's for the males in the room, chat room, that's for the males on the call, the females. It doesn't matter. The God is, the infinite field of potential, is awaiting the female aspect, the receptive principle, to receive that which it desires to be made known through us. And it's love. And the love might be a sonata, it might be a perfect relationship times infinitum. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's everyone you meet will reflect what you are. And if your purpose is to be in union with another perceptual reality, then you'll become the perfected state of love. If your reality is to be a musician, then you will become the perfect aspect of the music. You will become one with the music. So what I really wanted to share is this new book that I'm reading. Again, I get so turned on by this because this is really the confirmation. For a while, I used to say, you know, a good book is like for me going to a bar. I used to go to bars, you used to go to parties. But a good book is just, it's like a night out with the one you love. Because books no longer have knowledge for me. They're just a reflection of all I am. The man no longer has something to give me. He's just a reflection of all I am. Everything in my perceptual world is of me, allowing God or rejecting God. And if I reject God, there will be pain. I use the word God, and I have to keep correcting it because God is not even conceptual for me. The God that I understand is beyond any physical understanding, any mental comprehension. It is infinite beauty. It is infinite love. And the more that I am receptive to it, the more I will see it. It's not about moving to another location, which was my New York trip last week. You know, I'm trying to go to New York. The New York state of mind is where I want to be. But I am that. And it's not about the location. It's about me being in harmony with that which I desire to see. And God planted the seed. He said, New York, you are. And I tried to find a place to stay instead of saying, you know what? If I am New York, then it is here and now. And it's not about a change of scenery. It's about a change of heart. And that change of heart will always be there. And I can tap into it or not, depending on what I want to do, what I want to see. But the reality is for me, there is no longer an option other than love. Because if not for love, then what is there? What are we here for? So this book that I picked up from Wayne Dyer's recommendation, and it's called E²9. And I got to tell you, it's a delightful book. And if anyone really wants to enjoy and just to refresh their soul, this book is so beautiful. I mean, I love reading what she says.
And in this one section, it blew me away because this is what I've been sharing for years. Validation, again, because that's all the books are, that's all the people are. When the student is ready, the teacher appears, means nothing about hierarchy. You only see what you are. And when you're ready to accept that, then change can occur. But if you keep assuming that there is a guru and you're the disciple, then you'll remain less than God. The guru is I am. And the more that I accept that and understand that everything in my perceptual reality is reflecting what I feel about me, then I got it. Then I have no choice but to stay in love. And so she talks about this, and it's written so well that I'm going to just do a quick one. Let me see if it's done. I opened it. I'm way past this, and I'm on Kindle, and I opened to the exact page. How could it not be? All right. So she says here, she calls it WAPAs, you know, our ideas of God, what we were taught to realize God is. And WAPA number 3 is God plays favorites. And she calls it the infinite field is a force field that equally is available to everyone. It's a natural capacity in all of us, not an exclusive gift bestowed upon a few. In fact, that is the primary lesson that Jesus taught. God is within. You are part of God. You can perform miracles. To worship Jesus the way we do is a little like worshiping Benjamin Franklin because he first discovered electricity. Ben Franklin set that kite up in an electric storm so we could use the principle and he demonstrated. He didn't do it so we build temples to him, paint pictures of him, and wear little commemorative keys around our necks. He wanted us to take the principle of electricity and use it, which we do to run radios and computers and air conditioners. Had we stopped with Ben's discovery the way we did with Jesus' discovery, we'd all be sitting in the dark. Benjamin Franklin didn't invent electricity any more than Jesus invented spiritual principles. Lightning, the resulting electricity, has always been available. We just didn't realize it or know how to access it. Galileo didn't invent gravity. When he dropped the wooden ball off the Leaning Tower of Pisa, he just demonstrated it. Likewise, Jesus demonstrated spiritual principles that he wants us to use and develop. We've wasted 2,000 years worshiping this idol of him instead of using the principles he taught us. Look through the Bible, and nowhere does Jesus say, worship me. His call to us was, follow me. There's a big difference. By making Jesus out to be a hero, we miss the whole point. Jesus wasn't saying, I'm cool, make statues of me, turn my birthday into a huge commercial holiday. He was saying, here, look what is possible. Look what we humans are capable of. Jesus is our brother, our legacy, the guy we're supposed to emulate. What he was trying to tell us is that the churches, the religious leaders, and all their blaring rhetoric has drowned out God's truth. They've pulled the wool over our eyes by failing to mention the fact that the infinite field is not an object of worship, but a very real presence and a principle at which we should live. And I've used this over and over again, that Jesus is the coolest concept and the most accurate concept of all time, because he was the one that went the distance for us. And there were others, but being raised a Catholic and a Christian, I really always had a sense that he was a cooler dude than my, you know, peers and those in my churches and my neighborhoods and my family had a clue about. That he was showing us that everything that was possible through him was also who we are. And there's a call here. I don't know if it's anybody that I've invited to hang out. So let's just see who it is. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Did you want to talk?
I just kind of called in to listen. I wasn't sure if you were giving insight.
Yeah, I'll be doing that in a little while. Just hang in there, okay? And then I'll open your lines.
Thank you for calling. Hold on,
babe.
You're welcome. So anyway, so that with that in mind, you know, again, if there are callers, please, for people that want, you know, some insight into what I've come to realize, please feel free to either put it on the chat room or give us a call at 646-595-3440, and I'll be opening the lines for calls in just a bit. I just want to talk a little bit more about this. So anyway, so the reality is God is I am. And what that means to me is that I really know without a shadow of doubt that I can move mountains. I know that it is in my ability, if I choose to receive and accept it, to do anything that any other miraculous mindset called guru, called you know, ascended master, called whatever, because I have seen it in my personal reality. I have seen how in the AIDS Center that people in my presence weren't sick. People who had tuberculosis, who had all kinds of communicable diseases, weren't affecting me and the man that I was with at the time, because we were so full of love and so naturally connected to the source of all being, God, that we never took our attention away from that. And so disease dissipated in our presence. And so if it happens outside of you, that means it's because it's inside of you, that you are allowing the clear, beautiful, and some would say violet energy, white light, God's love, whatever, to come through, new wine, which is from the Bible. And that means that I get out of the way. Thy will is my will, love's will, God's will, the giver of all's will be made known through me, and that's the perfection of being love, pure love, and that's what I share in the opening I am mantra that I did. So, you know, again, if there are people out there, aspects of the one, because I believe we're all one, and whoever's here tonight is just reflecting something of me, whether it be present, whether it be past, whether it be future, and again, there's no time, so it's happening simultaneously. But we are archetypes, all of us, of the one. And there are groups of archetypes in the perceptual reality where there's a group of people that are insecure, a group of people that are confident, a group of people that are loving, who are not loving. I mean, it doesn't matter. We're all God in disguise. So talking to this girl, I got such a beautiful aha, because I realized that I was telling myself, actually showing myself how far I've come in no time, because I have to keep going back to that. This is just a decision in the moment, a nanosecond. I just turn my attention. There it is. Because the infinite field of potential is activated in every single moment. It's constantly available to all, and we can tap into any reality, slightly changing our focal point. And that's all it is. It's just putting our attention elsewhere. If I take it off of this and put it on that, that eventually dies and this stays known. Does it die in reality? No, because it's always there. But it dies to me. It dies to my perspective. And this is a perspective in relative reality. What I assume I want to see, what I assume I am, I will make known. So, you know, with that in mind, you know, how does it feel, truly? How does it feel to understand that you are just a representative of God, of your vessel, you're a set of costume that you're wearing in the moment, and that you and I are identical, which is wearing different clothes, and that everyone in our perceptual reality are performing tasks of experience and nothing more, nothing less, that the world really is an illusion, and why is it an illusion? Because nothing here is anything but really energy, and energy made into form. So the form is the manifestation of ideas dwelled on, feeling tones dwelled on, and that's how God sculpts through us. That's how God paints through us. That's how he sings through us. That's how he makes love through us. That's how he murders through us. And that's not an easy one to understand, because after all, you know, God is good. God is love.
But God is also neutral. You know, he is not a respecter of persons. He knows that the persons are just aspect of his very mind. All his children are his thoughts made manifest. And so he doesn't judge the murderer. He doesn't judge the saint. He loves them all equally because all they are is an aspect of him, experiencing what it's like not to be. Another caller, I just want to see if there's anyone that wants to talk at this point. Hold on one sec. Hello.
Hi, yes.
Did you
know
all right, please. Put you back on hold. So anyway, so I asked this again. How does it feel? You know, how does it feel to come to the state of remembrance? And we're having it, you know, where consciousness is awakening to itself, upon itself. God is awakening from his dreams. He's becoming lucid. He's becoming aware that there are differences in his mind. And he's allowing these aspects to familiarize themselves with each other, to glance at each other, and to know who they are. And to feel who they are, and to see who they are, and knowing, because I mean, the synchronicity is just, you know, it's just realization of all that we hold in mind. It's not anything fancy. It's not a coincidence. It's not something haphazard that just shows up. It is a revelation of what is in the mind. So if I am assuming the state of love, chances are my lover, my children, those that I that trigger that response in me will come to mind. How will they come to mind? I'll see them. I didn't recognize that he was, or know that he was going to show up, or I didn't realize that I was going to get a call from him. But the more that I become love, anything that resembles love to me, the God I am, will be made known. So that's really cool. You know, it's really cool. And I'm going to open the line for some questions because there's a lot of callers. I'm really jazzed about it. Thank you for being here. Again, by the end of this night, anyone here will know who they are. I promise you. You will have a sign, some kind of an understanding that you are one with the infinite field of potential and that anything that you desire will be made known through you if you allow it to be. Because all you are is the receiver, and the more that you're able to receive, the more you'll be given that which you are meant to be given by the God I am. So let me open this line. Hello. Thanks for calling. Did you want to ask a question? Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. Hello. Deb, did you want to ask a question?
Yes.
What is your name, honey?
Where do I live in Florida?
Hi, I'm glad that you called. And what did you want to ask, love?
I wanted to ask a question pertaining to my relationship.
All right.
It's the relationship with the father of my child, and I've done a lot of growing spiritually, and this man is a man that, you know, I saw I needed to grow spiritually as well, and I'm hoping that, well, you know, we can get on the same page as soon as possible so that we can begin to, you know, repair our relationship, forgive one another, and make this thing work. Have more children, you know, because we have one together already. And so I guess my question is, do you see that happening for us?
I feel your heart. You know, I don't believe that there's any static or definite future. There's an infinite future for every one of us. And future means a state of, you know, experience. For me, it's not really about time. So I feel that you're a beautiful heart, and you're really sincerely in love with your children mostly. And I want you to know that the more that you stay in that love, the more the man you're with will join you, or he won't. And the more that you stay in that love and become self-loving, the more he will stay with you, or he won't. Because the more that you become love,
You cannot be with love's opposite. But the gift for you is that you are love. You are love already. What is he like to you? What does he represent for you at this point? If you wanted just to say, well, he represents whatever about me.
What does he represent about me? Oh, my gosh.
What does he bring up in you?
Emotions.
When I said that, honey, where do you feel it in your body?
I guess in my heart and in my stomach.
Okay, so that's what I felt. What's happening is that he brings up a lot of your issues because, you know, there's an issue about being trusting in love. You know, everyone's afraid to really open their heart to love. So he really best represents the love nature that you were used to in the past. And that love nature is trying to heal itself. So he's by your side to do that with you. And when you've really done it, he will either stay, and I'm going to keep saying that, honey, because usually what happens is that when we grow, a lot of us leaves us. Because what we can't be with is what we're not, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Because what I'm sharing here is that everything's a mirror. So your children and those closest to you are your best teachers, you know. And so don't
right
be afraid.
Now, as of right now, we have one daughter.
Right. And, you know, I believe you're going to have more children. But I'm just saying that I really feel that you are really loving, but you have a lot of fear about accepting love and trusting love. So all I'm saying to you is stay on path. Stay where you are. Keep loving you and that little girl. Because you want to know something? The best gift that a woman can give herself and allow God I am to give is a female as a child, because that little girl is you, and she wants to heal you. She came into being to help you become the beautiful female that you are, you know. So let that relationship be your guide, because you wouldn't treat you any different and in a harsh way or in a punishing way or in an abusive way to that child. That child is treated like she's a princess. And that's what you have to treat yourself like now. You've got to stay in that union. I tell this to people all the time. A lot of guys I work with, you know, they got daughters. I got to find myself a girlfriend. I'm a single dad. No, that little girl wants to be loved by her daddy. And that is the best gift you can give yourself. So as you relate to her, as she relates to you, all of a sudden the male becomes the male. And he becomes a loving male because he knows that the female will not settle for less. You know, you are right on path. Don't deny it. Don't be frightened by where you are because you're in a good place. But don't look to the male anymore other than a reflection of what you are in love and what you fear most about love. Does that make sense?
Mhm. Now my daughter, she's 7 years old, and she had a little—I don't know what's going on—but she has a little bit of problem of, you know, kind of getting, you know, her words and going, you know, communication, and, you know, I just want to know if she'll do well.
All right, I want you to go a little bit deeper into that, if you wouldn't mind. What do you mean when you say she has a little trouble with communication?
In school, as far as, like, I'm afraid, because, okay, she was held back in kindergarten, and, you know, she's having, you know, trouble with learning, you know, how to read and, you know, putting words together and, you know,
okay,
sounds.
Now, all right, let's pretend for a moment. Let's just play a little mind game, all right? And this is my belief, and this is what I live, and this is what I teach. Let's pretend for a moment that that little girl is you. All right, so what are you feeling about being left back in kindergarten?
Um,
What does it feel like? Is it sad? Does it feel sad?
No, it doesn't feel sad.
What does it feel?
It just kind of feels, it feels like just a second chance at, you know, just kind of like a second chance. It doesn't feel sad, like, you know, like I don't know, you know, how to. It just is, I don't know.
You feel like you're not good enough because you feel like you're not, like, you know, equal now all of a sudden on some level. Now, remember, you're her. So, and you know, feel what it would be feeling like if you got left back in kindergarten and see what comes up for you. What does it feel like? You don't understand it, do you? You don't understand why?
No.
All right, you don't understand why, but that very occurrence was the gift that was given her and you to try harder. That was a challenge you both needed to overcome what was done to you when you were little. The environment that you were in, the society that you were in. So it's really a gift. And that lack of communication or the inability to communicate is because the creative throat, the creative experience that we have through our throat chakra, which is creation, because, you know, first there was the word and then there was flesh, is blocked. So what you have to do is to be more loving to you, because she is a reflection of what you feel about yourself. Every relationship is telling you, consciously or unconsciously, what you feel about yourself. So when you see that, and I hope and I pray, because I feel that there's no accident that you called tonight. This is all about me and you healing and moving the blocks to love and God in this moment. So I'm telling you that all you need to do is love you and stop being so hard on you and allowing yourself to accept her love and give her love and keep it going. Keep that energy flowing back and forth. Anytime she's not communicating, give her hugs and kisses and tell her to sing. You want to hear her sing. Teach her how to sing, because it's a beautiful way to clear those chakras that are blocked. You know? Love yourself. The more you will see this man love you. And if he's not the one, you know what? Somebody else is showing up. Because you can only see yourself in that mirror. The mirror doesn't lie. It shows you everything you feel about yourself. And right now, him and her are your best teachers. They're your clearest mirrors. So if he's teaching you that he's not loving you the way you want to be loved, you got to love you more. And you may have to say no. And you may have to say, no, this isn't okay. I love me. Thank you. Because the relationship is about how I relate to me, and there he is. How I relate to me, and there she is. That's all a relationship is. And I'm going to be doing a show on a New York show on next Tuesday on relationships. And I'll post that on my page, which is, I'll put at the end of this show, I'll put in the comments box on Blog Talk so you can see and access whatever I'm doing. But I'm telling you, you're there. You're just a little apprehensive. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to experience love with your daughter. Have that relationship. Make sure that she feels love no matter what. And when she feels love, you know what? It's you. You got it. And now you'll walk with a king. You'll walk with somebody that wants to give you the world. But you got to give it to yourself first, and you got the opportunity because you got that little angel to walk with. And you are so blessed having her. Does that make sense?
Yes, what, baby? I do feel that I'm blessed. I do feel that I'm blessed to have my daughter. I wanted to know, you know, if she'll... You know, you always had this fear, like my mom used to tell me, she passed away, but, you know, she used to tell me she gave her mom problems, you know, just teenage woman, you know, female mother-daughter relationship, and she feels as though, you know, it kind of came back on her through me. And so now my dad tells me that, you know, well, since I had, you know, some issues growing up with my mother, that it's going to be the same with my daughter. And I have absolutely no doubt in my mind my daughter is not going to be that way. I just want to know if she'll do well, you know, for herself. You always
and
have this.
With you as a mommy, she can't go wrong. She cannot go wrong. Because, you know, you're living the sins of the father, but you know what? You can get over that. You know, we come in to redo mommy's life, daddy's life, and you know what? At some point, we got to break away completely from that pattern, that past, that blueprint. We don't have to assume that anymore. We're here to assume that God is the one that is in charge of our life. And if you're in love, honey, you're connected to source, and you're not going to be let down. But remember that you have to love you, and that will transform your daughter. It's you first. I always share this with students. You know, if you're on a plane, what do they tell you? First, you got to give yourself the oxygen before you can help anybody else on the plane. Or if you're drowning, you can't save somebody that's drowning. If you're drowning as well, you got to save your life first. So you got to become the change, and then you look at your daughter, and there she is. She's your change. Your children are our best teachers. They show us exactly where we are in every moment. So I hope that helps you. I love you, and I want you to feel that love because that's the love you are. You are full of love, Angel. And that challenge that she had was you wanting it different for her. So it's all good. It's all God. All righty? And look at the bottom of the blog talk when we're done, because I'm going to have my pages and everything in case you want to check out the show on Tuesday, or if you want to just send me an email. All right?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a beautiful night, Angel.
You too.
So anyway, so that was really beautiful. And again, that's the point. The point is I am is my experience. Now, I am at a stage of development and consciousness, which is not only me, it's all of us, and some of us are awake to it, some of us are sleeping to it, that it's only about the giver of all. That I don't have to really assume a state anymore because, you know, I really am dedicated to God realization. And that is to realize that God is I am. Jesus walked the path, and he was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was abandoned. And that's what happened. And it's very sad for me because I came here in this mindset, this whatever we want to call it, this life experience, this dream that we're all living, in my relative reality, to teach everyone and to remind everyone that the lover is within, that they are the lover. And I tell you, the closer you come to love, the more frightening it is for the aspects of you that are not ready for being in love. And that's what the Pharisees did with Jesus. You know, they were horrified by his presence. You know, he wasn't showing fear. And they were used to fear. This society as we know it, in consciousness and in relative mind, I mean, it is relative. We all see it differently. We all receive differently. It's so much about instilling fear. Even on my Facebook, which I call my news central because I don't watch TV and I don't really do media other than social media, is all about fear. Even my spirit, I mean, I have so many pages and each one every day has either the GMO or the new disease or the new cure or the new doctor or the new telemarketing or the new, and it's all about outside the self. And as soon as you bring love to the table, everybody runs to the hills. What do you mean I can heal myself? What do you mean that doctors can't heal me? What do you mean that I don't need to do nothing and I can still have money come through me? What do you mean that I don't need to find someone to love me? After all, that's what this reality is about. And it's all a pack of lies. Everything you've ever dreamed of is within. Everything you ever need to be happy is within. But, of course, we were trained, I was trained as to believe that I was separate from the giver of all, the infinite field of potential, my friends, after all, my father, my mother, everybody's separate. And
I'm really alone, and I got to do this path, and I got to work really hard. I got to go to school, and I've got to make sure I find a man to love me and support me. And after all, I'm nothing without a man. And what about friends? I've got to have friends. And all of this is the Pharisees in the kingdom of the material realm. They're just wild, stray ideas of the belief that we can be separate. And fear is the culprit. Fear is the maker of all that isn't love. And it can't be real because love is all there is. The devil, Satan, is fear. You know, I have a friend who's very wealthy, and I shared this on my show, and you're really, it's an aspect of me. Of course it is. It's not my present state, but it was something that I conjured up in some, you know, moment in time, believing that there could be lung issues. And he's got a horrible situation. He's very rich, and he's got to work for what he wants. He's got to travel 3 times to another state all across the country to have somebody diagnose him and maybe 3 or 4 surgeons work on him. But Jesus is his Savior. Jesus is no one's Savior who believes that he is not one with them. There is no, what does he save him? What is he saving him for? The kingdom of heaven is within. That was said already. So where and what are we waiting for? So the Christians believe, and that's 90% of the world, believe that they are going home after they leave the body. And either that or they're going to, and Jesus is going to greet them, and they're going to all go into heaven, and they're going to have a wonderful time. Where? They don't know. You know, space-time? No, there's no space-time. I don't know where. But unless you come to realize God before you choose to lose this, leave this, hang these costumes up, you're going to go again to another reality where you're in days, when you're walking into a house of mirrors and bumping your head. So I come to, as one who we've all been called, we're all one, but very few answer. Very few want to hear what I say. There should be thousands of people in perceptual reality listening to what I'm sharing about God being all we are and many others that are. And there's so few, hundreds, this call at the end of this call, there's few people. At the end of the week, there might be 300 people that listen to this show. And most of them cut off after 15 minutes because, after all, what is she talking about? I have to go to my for my checkup once a week. I've got to go to work. If I don't get to work, what am I going to get paid? So everything you assume is a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it's all about survival. Survival where? What are we surviving for? What are we waiting for? God is I am now, meaning that I am him now. I am it now. I can change any circumstance. How can I change it? Just change my attention. Just take it from I need to work and I need to do nothing. What I feel about myself becomes known. So whether it's a lover, whether it's a paycheck, whether it's a beautiful body, whatever it is, but eventually the job will go, the man will go, the body will go, and you'll still be in spirit in the same energy. And that energy is, you know what? I think I need something to be okay. I think I need something outside of me to give me something to make me okay. All right, so somebody wrote here, Ananda, this is so good. You two are radically cognizant. If you're lying what you're speaking, it has a pleasant surprise to sit at in your energy field. I will call the person we both know later to let him know what I've discovered. Congrats. So anyway, so that's really cool. And whoever that is, bless you. I love the fact that you listen to me and sharing what I've come to realize. And this is nothing new. I've been teaching this in time for 20 years, that everything in our perceptual reality is in fact what we believe it to be. By our beliefs, it is done unto us. What we believe, we prophesize, we actually see our future. And how can we see our future? Because we see it because we're being it now. Whatever I am now becomes our reality. And I will tell you that if you assume that you need a doctor, then have the doctor. If you assume that you need a relationship outside you, then have the relationship. But understand that you're not, if you're reaching outside of you, you're in total denial that you are one with the one. And that's why Jesus had to find space alone. So much of the time he had to just be quiet. And he had very few followers. How could he have more than a few? Because all of his followers were just aspects of him that were misdirected. And each one of them represented a different archetype in mankind. You know, there was Thomas, the doubter, the insecure one. There was Judas, the betrayer, you know. There was John, the one who loved Jesus the most. There was Peter, the one that was steadfast, but then doubting also. Each one of those aspects are the aspects in all of us. And he showed us clearly, was he really alive? I don't know, was he? Was he really, a man? I don't know, was he? But I will tell you that the peace that I find in my conditioned state is all based on what he's come to teach. What he taught me is that you are one with God, act like it. All false idols will fall. And you will weep every time they do. And eventually the weeping becomes so hysterically sad and so hysterically victimized you become that you lose sight of any possibility that you can be in love with God, with life, with love. And then you start failing. And then your lungs start being able not to breathe because an imbalanced mind causes an imbalanced body. In an imbalanced world. So I love Jesus, but I believe in the doctor. So I love Jesus, but I know I got to work hard. But I love Jesus, but I got to fix that person. Judge not lest you be judged isn't about opinions. It's about I see you different. I see you should do this. No, Jesus never said you should do this. He said, if you want to be in peace, follow me. I am the way back home to where? I'm the way back home to heaven. I'm the way back home to pure love. And where is that? That's within. All right, so what's the name of the radiant one with the sandy hat, small beard, and luminous smile on the audio player, Ananda? I don't know who that is. Anyway, this is so great. I'm glad that you're here. You're not here. You are, and it's Doc, V-A-J, Vag, whatever. This is really cool. And it doesn't matter. It's all good. So that's what I really, really came to share. I mean, and for me, it's just practical, and it is my path, and what I choose to do is to be God-realized, and that means that I may give up the body. That means I may give up circumstances. That may I may give up the world because I am not of the world, I am in the world, and the world is in me. Because what I assume becomes my experience. It's a relative reality, so what I believe will be made known. I will not be doubted. Everything I believe in will come to pass. Everything that I believe in will be my God. I will bow to it. I will bow to the doctor because the doctor is giving me life. My father believes the doctor is his God. My mother could not give up the TV. They told her in spiritual meditation that I took her to that the TV is actually where all her disease resides. And she died in the hospital not being able to breathe because she could not give up the TV. That was her God. And it's not good or bad. Judge not lest you be judged. I'm not judging. I'm just showing me the potential if I go back to the mind and the patterns and the blueprint, or what a lot of people are choosing to call the matrix. Go back into the formation and the materialization of a society that believes that everything is separate from itself. So there's callers here, and again, I'm going to open up the line. I don't know if you want to talk. If you do, say so. If not, that's okay. Hello? Hello?
It's good to be here.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Who is this? Yes, I can.
I don't know. Who is this?
I don't know. Tell me.
This is your friend from Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, the Igmeister. You all hold on for such a long freaking time, man. Can you hear me okay?
That's all right. Yeah, that's what it was supposed to be. I was just supposed to listen.
You wanted to listen, but I want you to talk quick about the Thousand Drumming Circle or drummers. Talk about that quick.
Oh, okay, yeah. I want to introduce everybody. My name is Iggy. I'm producer for With Insights Radio here on Block Talk Radio. I'm glad that Ananda's on our show and are part of our broadcasting team. We're actually doing a Thousand Drummer gathering here in Columbus, Ohio, July 28th from noon to 5. It's to bring consciousness to the world. It's to bring, you know, love, peace, and harmony. And actually, this has a second thing that we're doing is we're actually collecting cans of food for the food pantry here in our neighborhood and here in Columbus, which is in big need of canned food, especially going into the fall and to the winter time, and especially for Thanksgiving and the holidays. So hopefully we get 1,000. We're about a little over a quarter of a way there, but I'm sure that everybody brings a friend, we're going to be really close.
Yeah, so if anybody's in Ohio, Garcia's is the name of the restaurant, right?
Yeah, Garcia's is the restaurant that I operate here in Columbus.
Can they drop it off there? Can they drop off the
food
there?
They can drop it off there. They can drop it off there, or they can actually just bring it with them. We have arrangements
to
pack everything up.
I got to come. I really got to come.
Are you going to come?
I want to come. I hope I can. I would love to.
Are you in Florida? Are you in Florida or New York right now?
I'm in Florida. Yeah, I didn't get moved at all past this moment. But you know, I'm contemplating it because a few people have been telling me about your area. So we'll see what happens. If it's meant to be, you know, I'll be there. But anything that you want to share or ask before I put you back on hold?
No, I just want to say thanks. I really appreciate you. I'm sitting here at the gas station. Just got off work a little bit ago, and I'm waiting
for the Krispy Kreme donut
truck to pull up. Sir.
You can hijack it. I love it. Anyway, I love you, and you know, last week I did a big thing on you. You know, sending you love and light, and I'm always in total gratitude because again, I feel like you're my spiritual brother. I never really had a brother like you. And so I'm happy to have you in my life, and thank you for listening. We'll put you back on hold, my love.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Angel. Okay, we have another caller here. Is that anybody here that wants to speak? Okay, hello. Do you want to share?
All
right, sweetie. All right, let me put you back on hold. Thank you. So with that in mind, I'm so glad Iggy's here because he's like the coolest dude on the planet. And, you know, again, this is like I shared in the early part of the show is that I really feel like, you know, him and Jordy and Sonny have become perfect mirrors for me of the male energy that I call, you know, real, the truth, the authentic selves. They're all here to bring their worlds to a higher place and to open up the God I am through them. They know that they are the way, and they know that love is the way. And so to have them in my world shows me that I really am what I claim to be opening to, because they are the perfect reflections of the male energy. And, of course, the female, because they're all beautiful hearts and wide open to receive. You know, Iggy with he's a shaman and a medicine man, and he's also a dancer. He dances so good, and he's got a video that he did, and it's a Madonna video. And I got to tell you that I have never enjoyed anything as much as I enjoyed that video. And I shared that on my pages, but that video has to be number one on YouTube. So, Iggy, I really implore you to put it out there, man, you know, because it really is. I mean, you just got rhythm, man. You can't help it, you know. Anyway, and he dances like I do, and he plays the drums, which I really love. And then there's the infinite potential Jordy that, you know, is creation itself. All he does is open up, and there it is. Now he's opening up to a higher, you know, understanding. I really believe he's going to start writing soon, which is just, you know, an aspect of God saying, hey, I want to write something. And there's another call. Let me open this up. Hello. Who's calling? Do you want to talk? Or you want to just listen?
Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. All right, so anyway, I want to go back to, you know, my rant, and it is a rant, but it really is what I've come to realize, and I really want those that aspects of me that are, you know, available and accepting and willing to really start understanding that you are it in your perceptual reality. We are, as I say it all the time, the masters of our own universe. And when you start realizing that, you start humbling yourself in front of the infinite field, and you say, whatever, you know, bring it forth, whatever. And if it is like with me, it's been the last month of the healing that's going through me, which is really dislodging the energy. It's actually breaking up the energy so that there's a free flow. And that free flow then allows the purpose I am as the body called Satchitananda of love to allow the giver of all to bestow upon my world that which is desired to be seen by that which I am. And it's really beautiful. So, you know, as soon as I go back to that, because, you know, again, it's a moment-to-moment, you know, dedication to truth, dedication to love. The minute I go back to that, I'm in ecstasy. Even if you know, something should have physically happened to me in the process, I don't see it. I don't feel it. All I feel is absolute bliss. And all I know is that all I am is one with love. And when I turn away from that, if even for a fraction of a second in time, there's some kind of distraction. And that distraction, if I allow myself to go down that road, will lead me to a place I most likely choose not to be. I choose not to be in pain and suffering. I choose not to acknowledge sickness in mankind. I choose not to pay mind and pay homage to disease called GMO, called, you know, bombs, called the media, called the politics, called the whatever. I choose not to pay it mind because it chooses only then to distract me from God. So everything in my world is a house of mirrors, and if I become disoriented by taking my attention off God, I bump into mirrors all day long. And it's not pleasant. You know, but if I stay in the love and I acknowledge everyone the same, so I walk into Starbucks, hello love, hello angel, good to be here, oh I love seeing you, oh I love seeing you, oh you look so beautiful, so do you. And it's like, you know, it's like you're meeting your lover in every moment. And I drink the beverage and, oh, hello beverage, oh you're so beautiful, oh I love you, just quench my thirst, it's such a wonderful experience. It is a moment of oneness. Everything I do is an opportunity to realize that. You know, when I chew my food and I'm meditating with my food, I'm meditating on the love that I am. Because that food and my body are the same. They come together in a divine dance to experience digestion on whatever level, experience assumption, assimilation on whatever level. And if there's a non-congruency, if there's some kind of discordant energy by me turning away from God, then that food and that body becomes disoriented. And when it becomes disoriented, what's left? Pain. What's left? Suffering. And the more that I dwell on it or resist it, the more I'll see it. So I've got to go to that surgeon. You don't understand, Ananda. But you know what? If you believe that there are healers, there's other options. Why not go to Brazil and see John of God? Because that's what you have the money to do it. Or why don't you, you know, love that child? Start loving that child that's so needy that you see next door in that neighbor, that parent's not giving her any attention. But you say you want to be loved. You say you want to be with somebody to love. That little child really could use your love. It's really mind-boggling because, again, my only intent is not to cause conflict, but to cause one to realize that they are loved. And so I share about this man that lives next door to me who is a young guy, and he oftentimes, more than not, had been doing the punching bag in my office. Like I could see it through my office, and doing weights and sprinting and hostile and rap music, and it's all, you know, mother effer music. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is not me. It's my mirror. Oh, my God, it's my shadow. I can't deny this. I can't deny this. So what I decided to do is I started deciding to walk through my fear, because it's not me. I can't go there. I mean, what am I doing? I know it's just an aspect of me. He's my teacher. So one day he's playing basketball, and I stopped the car, and I said, how you doing? And he just, like, put his head up, like, you know, what the hell is this? And I took off. The next day, maybe a week later, I saw my wave, and I mean this. I want to make peace. I do not want to judge, because if I judge, I'm just holding myself a prison. It's just something in me. It's a shadow self that I'm, you know, tangoing with, and it's an illusion. So anyway, I pass by again, a wave, and he's waving a little higher now. Well, 3 days ago, I'm leaving the house in my car, and I decide to go in his direction rather than the other. He's sitting on the back of his car with a little boy on a bike. And I tell you, he raised his arms and waved to me. He initiated the wave like never before. And I knew then that it was done, that I was done judging my brother for my own fear of possibly being harmed, believing that I could be harmed and I was separate from him. So in shamanism, and I, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but I believe that what happens is that the Nagual, or that the medicine man, or that the, you know, whatever aspect of the shaman that chooses to go into the body actually assimilates the energy of that person and assumes the disease and takes it away. And that's what the totems do. The totems in the mindset of shamans are really there to bring that aspect to a clear stage of being. And they represent what that totem and that person represents, because that's the match made in heaven. And that's why they have their own special totem. And that's why in Eastern philosophy they have their gods. They have their, you know, different archetypes that they merge with to help themselves remove that block to love's presence within them. And, you know, and the Greek gods, the same thing, you know. And so everything, they're false gods, but they are a way back to God. And so when you realize that and understand that you are the guru, and that is just your refresher, or that's just your reminder or your trigger to take you back to God. And when you go back to God or the giver of all life, again, I gotta believe is the only way for me to understand it, because I don't get outside myself. I get inside myself if I allow it to come through. I receive what I am given now. And I've been a channel for many years, never claimed it, never thought that that was a reality. I just thought that that's who we are. We're all open to, you know, higher knowledge, because we all are. I just wrote that to a friend of mine who, you know, just she's a lady who's a spiritual teacher in town. And I said to her that, you know, all my life I didn't really know that people couldn't do what I did. I, you know, and I was shocked and I cried a lot because, you know, I was told by many people that they didn't understand me. I was too abstract. And I was like, I don't understand. It's so simple, you know. Won't they believe the same thing as me? You know, can't they see through things? Can't they move things with their mind? And the reality is that I am very innocent, because I really don't understand the other side of reality. I don't understand why I never had to work. I didn't know that I didn't, but I never did. You know, I never had to work. I was always provided for. And I had a really awesome life and time. You know, I really believe that I've had every dream realized. So it wasn't about me doing to be to get. It was me being, and that was the reflection of all that I was. And again, it doesn't really matter. You know, what you see is what you are. What you see is what you be. And so if the caller earlier really wants to be loved by that man completely, so that her and her daughter and the three of them have a beautiful sacred union, then she needs to love herself the way she desires to be loved by him. And that he can be her trigger now. He could be her false god right now. But as long as she discerns and understands, he's just a way shower. He's just a messenger saying, sweetheart, I'm going to bring this up in you, because if I don't bring it up, you're not going to know it's there. So let me be your mirror.
I'm going to show you insecurity. I'm sorry I got to play this role, but you know what? Ultimately, it's going to be for your good. So if we could see everything as a messenger, whether it be the disease in the body, whether it be the neighbor scaring her neighbor, whether it be the rain and the storms and the diseased food and the countries that are starving, and it's all telling me how I feel about me. It's a messenger. And the more that I assume the state of love, the more I'll see less and less of that which is not of love. And in my spiritual community with the people that I hold most dear, I often see those aspects of myself losing it for a minute or so and saying, man, you know, that idiot, or, you know, that poison, or that ba-ba-da, or that ba. And then all of a sudden I see a retraction and they say, oh, it's only love. And that's only me. Losing sight, becoming disoriented. And when I become disoriented, I go back into the illusion and walking through Oz, just like Dorothy, needing all aspects of myself that need what I am, because I need them to show me what I can't see. They attract to the love, and then everything else comes up. So the twin soul, going back to the sacred goddess energy, is about me becoming the loved and the lover. Me being loved by me in the highest. And that means I allow God in. He is the male. He is the groom and I am the bride. And he gives me the ring. I wear it. I'm wearing it right now. He gave me the ring. And that ring reminds me of what? That I am one with God. So we go back to my religion that I was raised to believe in, and that was Catholic. That priest and that nun wore the ring. Why? Because they were married to God. Their life was about committing to the completion of being. Unfortunately, throughout time, that became less and less reality, because the more we get stuck in the illusion of separation, the less we're able to see the giver of all and the oneness and the love. But the intent was there, the intent to be married to God himself. And the only way to do that is to keep your attention on the lover, the giver of all. Who wants to give you everything? He does. She does. It does. Whatever. The infinite field of potential has one purpose, and that's to bestow upon you the kingdom of heaven. I am the heir to the kingdom of heaven. And that was my mantra, which I share all the time, first few years of my awakening. Anytime I was about to feel the emotional state of fear, I would say, and I chant to myself, I am the heir to the kingdom of heaven. I am the light of the world. But so are you. And so are you, and so are you, and so are you. And I walked in that understanding that everybody I met was God himself. And when I get that and I don't resist what is, so he comes and he talks about his disease and I want to take him in my arms and say, I know what your problem is, just let me hold you. Just let me love you. Nope. So I know what I have to do then is go back within and talk to the giver of God and say, I am here as a vessel of pure acceptance. I surrender my heart, my body, my world to you. You are the way. The Christ is awaiting the rebirth, the second coming, and that's within. And all of us as bodies, as vessels for God, have one objective and one purpose. And it's not about my career, and it's not about feeding the poor, and it's not about, you know, uplifting mankind. We have one purpose, and that's to remember that we're loved, that we are loved, that there is nothing that we need do but realize that. You know, the Peace Pilgrim, what a beautiful, anyone that knows of her, if you don't do it, Google on the Peace Pilgrim self, and it will show you that this woman walked in harmony with love and peace, and everywhere she went, she was provided for. And she wasn't there to fix anybody. She just walked like Jesus. She just walked her path, never knew where she was going to sleep, never knew where she was going to wake up, how she was going to eat, how she was going to, and she was an older woman in consciousness. She was not a young girl. She was probably, she had white hair, maybe in her 70s. And she trusted that she would be provided for because her focus was God. She was the true representative of the follower of Jesus. She showed her world, I trust in God. I trust in God. And she loved the peace pilgrim. Everywhere she went, everybody loved her because she was living her truth. And now wherever she is in another reality, she's in bliss. Because she didn't leave the body not knowing. And that's what I came to teach and come to teach every moment out loud to me. I want to hear it outside, myself reflected back on me. I want to hear the echo of what I'm saying. That I am here to awaken love in me, to open and be receptive to the giver of all as it decides and desires to make love to me, to give me the kingdom. It's already mine. I've been denying it. I've been refusing it. I've been looking at false idols. I've been believing that I have to do in order to be, in order to get. Not knowing that everything that I ever had was given me from me, to me, at me. Because I received all I could accept. And at times it was magnificent. At other times it was so lowly. But I didn't judge it because I believed that somebody outside of me was giving it to me, even though there was a sense of connection, a mystical knowing. So tonight, before you leave here, for a moment, just allow yourself to be given the gift, to receive that which you are, to understand that there is nothing that you could want for when you understand that you are one with the giver of all. That everything that you're receiving is coming through you, not to you. What I feel about me, I receive. So I feel like a beautiful angel. I feel like love herself. I feel so open to all that God decides that it wants to make known through me. And in every moment I ask that God's will be done, that love's will be done. And so that if you decide to walk through this reality into another one, because that's all about leaving the body is about, you'll go lucid. You'll walk through it lucid. You'll walk through it knowing who you are and living in Eden, in the highest, in love, in sharing, in oneness. Feel that. Know that. Be that. I love you. Feel the love. Know that everything is about coming back home to God. Oneness. Oneness. We are one. Me and my juice are one. Me and my food are one. Me and my body are one. Me and my lover is one. Me and my dad are one. Me and you. Feel that. Know that. Be that. See that. So if you want to change something, become the medicine man. Become the shaman. Go into the field and rearrange it. How do you do that? Focus on the highest. With the intent to love. With the intent to love. Yeah. We have a minute left. I want to thank everybody who's here tonight. Aspects of me who are waking up to the glory of being one with God. Being one with love. And I want to ask that from this moment on, that everyone that's listening, that's on the chat room, that's in the archives, that comes back to listen, that you don't go back to sleep, that you stay awake. And your world will shine upon you that far. It will show you how far you've come in awareness. And when it does, you will feel like the richest person in reality. And all you want to do then is give it to everyone you meet. So until next week, same time, same place, the Love Channel with Satchitananda. Thank you, Iggy. I love you with all my heart and soul, and I hope to be with you in Ohio for that drumming circle. Okay, again, have a beautiful night, being who you are. I am light of the world.
I am the heir to the kingdom of heaven. Let that be your chant until you get it. I love you. Good night now.